welcome to Roommating Habits, an auditory guide to sharing spaces. I'm your landlord, Pat Collins, and guys, the rent is due.
I'm top bunk, Matt Cremasco.
And I'm your power bottom, Dave Byer.
Thanks, guys. Oh, fuck. Gee whiz. We're good to go.
You all right over there, buddy? What's going on? You sound like you're struggling a bit.
No, we're good. We're good. I'm just age hitting me, boys, as it does with all of us. Time takes its toll, which I think fits in perfectly with this week's subject. So, guys, what we're going to talk about, and it's a topic where I think we personally, the three of us collectively, are not really strangers to this, talking about this subject. But we're going to talk about what does the older roommate look like later in life. You don't stop having roommates. You just evolve and you go into different living situations and scenarios and they just become a little bit different. So we're going to talk about later in life senior living centers. We're going to share some stories about it. We're going to really do a deep dive into that. So, and like I said, we're not strangers to this topic whatsoever. This is something I think we talked about even before we got into like a real roommate situation, where I'm sure there's been multiple evenings of, promising each other that we're all going to end up in the same living home or same living center at some point down the line. Dave, am I wrong with that?
If that doesn't happen, I can't say it's been a complete life. If we don't all end up in the same house trying to relive our youth, but in our 80-year-old bodies, then I'll be quite disappointed. It won't look as pretty. Maybe it never did, but it'll be fun. It'll be damn fun.
I have a confession.
Uh-oh. Matt's already signed up for a senior's home.
There are days where I get so excited about the thought of living in a retirement home with all my friends. It just gets me through the week. Forget the day. The thought of it. And I don't want to rush through life. No, don't get me wrong. I don't want to wake up tomorrow and be 75 years old moving into whatever age you are moving into a retirement home. But boys, let me tell you. Can you imagine?
I'm fucking
you just
fucked.
Wake up in the morning and you saunter down the hall, or if one of us is probably going to be rolling down the hall into someone's room, and the breakfast all gets delivered for us, and we're playing Mario Kart in someone's room. Come on.
Yes, please.
Come on.
Yes, please.
That sounds amazing.
Amazing. So we have talked about this for probably since we finished school. We've joked about it and then talked about it.
It's getting more
real. We continue
real.
To joke about it, but also really talk about it.
Yeah. We're almost reaching that halfway point of this is going to become a reality. It's going to happen. We're getting up there. I just want to know at what age do things start changing? Like, when do the boxers become less boxery, less material, right into the tidy whiteys and the tidy blueies?
A little bit more absorbent per se.
Yeah, seriously. When do they come with the big pads inside?
I'm going to start searching for minimum or youngest possible age to move into a retirement living.
Yeah.
45? Can we do it at 45?
Well, it's like that episode of The Simpsons. How many times have we said, it's like that episode of The Simpsons? They nail everything. They're just fortune tellers, including of our desire to move into a nursing home when Homer is just laying on a bed, sucking on a IV bag of liquefied potato chips and just saying, it's like you're a baby. You're treated like a baby, but you're old enough to appreciate it. He's not totally wrong.
We'll be gathering. We'll be playing James Bond 40 on our PlayStation 19, because that's how far along we'll be by that time.
That's for the kids, though. Like I would be terrified to even try and figure out a PS4 nowadays with all of the, the Fortnites and the online gaming. Like, give me Rainbow Road. Give me Odd Job and GoldenEye. That's kind of a dirty move right there, but, I'll win. Give me, though, like, that's some of the things that I'm starting to actually write down and think of and consider when I'm considering retirement homes, retirement communities. You know, what type of gaming consoles do they have? Am I supposed to bring my own? You know, is there time to sign it out? What type of sugar cereal do they have? Because I can just visualize myself in my Star Wars pajamas sitting cross-legged on the floor when Matt saunters in with his bowl of cereal saying, what level are you on?
Maybe it will grow out of this. I don't think we're going to. You know, I look at the older generation now and like none of them want to leave their homes, right? My grandparents, my wife's grandparents, that, you know, none of them. They'll never leave their homes, right?
No.
And like for me, I'm like, yeah,
get me out of it.
Cook for me, clean for me. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. So, I don't know. For that service, you know, and you know, some of these places do come with a price tag, certainly. But like you say, that just affords you that much more time to hang out with your buddies and really mess with people as well.
I think regardless, it's going to be wild times. And speaking of wild times, should we get into the nitty gritty of this week's episode, boys? What do you think?
Let's do it. In my, you know, of course, studious research for this podcast that we always conduct, I found a single article, as I seem to always do, that encompasses everything we want to talk about. This is, how today's going to work is we have a few stories from this single article, Seniors Gone Wild, 7 Crazy Stories from Nursing Homes. Yes, please. So, naturally. Foregoing any kind of scientific backing or reasoning, we're going to dive into this one. So without further ado, a walker on the wild side. Contrary to popular belief, nursing homes are more than just some kind of middle ground between a B&B and a minimum security prison. They can be havens for the kind of rowdy, rebellious, and ribald behaviors you'd think people were designed to age out of. It turns out that housing a bunch of elderly people together can be the perfect cocktail for shenanigans. Here are some prime examples of serious senioritis. So the first story that they go on to share here, and these are quick stories, so Magic Mike LXXXV. When the son of an 85-year-old resident of the East Neck Nursing Center in West Babylon, New York, came to visit his mother one day, he was shocked to see that her commissary money had been converted into dollar bills. He was even more shocked to see a picture of his dear sweet mom stuffing those bills into a dancer's G-string. It turns out it was not an isolated event and that the nursing home was in the habit of bringing in adult performers as an entertainment event for their residents. End of story. I am all for this nursing home. Not for the reason of, you know, bringing in just strippers and you know, dancers, exotic dancers per se, but the fact that they're just celebrating sexuality like this and just saying, you know what, these people, they need to have some fun as well, let's just put them in there. Like, you don't really, from my experience in working with therapeutic and inclusive and therapeutic recreation and leisure, thank you Brock University.
Oh, you're making that sound way too fancy.
Oh fuck, it was just fun stuff is therapy, it's essentially
rec and leisure.
And yeah, it turns out that hey, older adults like to have sex, it's a thing, and they like to celebrate sexuality and they like to indulge in this sort of thing. One question I'd have is, where was this picture posted that the son would see it? Did someone actually print a hard copy of this picture, or is it circulating in social media, and how is that being allowed? I want to know how he got his hands on this picture.
I would also like to know, be very interested to know anyways, the amount of commissary money that was turned into single dollar bills. I want to know what kind of cash this lady was throwing around. I'm hoping it was a large amount, because I think that would be a lot funnier. It was just like, it was her month commissary money. And she just said, all right, I need a bunch of singles. And also, why do they have so many singles on site? What's going on here? Clearly they know what's going on. They're planning for this. They know the seniors want, and they're giving it to them.
Yeah. It's not like,
what I don't understand is how, no, go ahead, please.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, yeah, like her commissary money. So that's saying that is from the facility itself. There'd be a record of this that he'd be able to, like a paper trail that he'd be able to track back, mm-hmm. to say, okay, the commissary was converted to singles. Why? Oh, because here's a picture of my sweet old mother stuffing it into the G-string of an exotic dancer.
I'm going to give you $200 for this $5 bag of hard candies, and I would like all my change in singles, please.
That's one way to do it. Where there's originals.
I understand that article though. In one breath can say, it's not like prison, and then the very first story is about commissary money.
Seriously?
I don't understand how that works. So is it their money and like, it's like a, they've banked it and like someone's controlling their budget for them? Like, I don't understand how there's, people might think I'm stupid for asking this, but I don't understand how commissary money works in a retirement.
Well, I see a key clue in this article right here, and that is East Neck Nursing Center in West Babylon. So that's one thing I'll dive into right now slightly. The difference between a nursing home and a retirement home. Retirement home is more like a free, like it's just where you live. You're free to come and go. Yeah. You're free to, you know, you control most of your own what have you. It's essentially just like a sweet ass hotel. And that's, of course, just me pulling that out of my ass. Whereas a nursing center, I think, is a lot more subsidized by the government, a lot more nursing and doctors on staff, and it's more like a care facility for maybe people who aren't quite fully there cognitively anymore. You know, maybe there's a lot more physical and mental impairments or abilities that just aren't quite there. So in the case of my own dear sweet grandfather, who had a overdose of Novocaine when they took out his teeth to put in his dentures, completely changed him. So he had this kind of bipolar sort of manic depressant disorder where he would compulsively buy tons and tons of stuff. Like he had a trunk full of toasters at one point that my dad ended up just pulling over. And when he was looking for a spare tire, ended up leaving all of these toasters on the side of the road because he was so pissed off that my grandpa had just been binging at flea markets for like toasters and everything. So this is like, I think having a little bit more control of some finances in a nursing home might be. Okay. But the fact that they allowed it just to be converted to singles like that.
Now you're totally going to piss off our green thumb listeners with all your litter stories that you're telling. Just leaving your toasters willy-nilly out there. Non-combustible toasters. Over the highway.
They're biodegradable, aren't they? I was going to ask. They're biodegradable.
One man's toaster is another man's treasure. So,
yeah, you know, someone drove by, it's like, oh,
free toasters.
Pile of toasters. Perfect.
And then that guy's kid ended up throwing them on the side of the road, and the cycle of toaster and life just continued.
Well, no. I don't know. This is a, listen, I'm all for it too, Pat. I'm in. Sounds good to me. A little freedom, a little enjoyment of life.
Right.
I don't think it wouldn't hurt to put it in the brochure. Good advertisement, I guess.
Hey, why not? Why not?
Why not?
All right, moving right along. Number two, tat's impressive. A 79-year-old great-grandmother in Ireland decided one night she needed to go out and get some fresh air. Actually, make that some fresh ink. It seems Sadie Sellers felt strongly that 80 is the new 20 and wanted to get her first tattoo. And it didn't care that she had to go AWOL to get it done. Sellers got a heart on her arm and claimed to be a little disappointed it didn't hurt more. So
the heart, the classic tattoo, the heart.
Love it.
Yeah, I do like this one a lot. This is cool. Why not?
Good honor.
Why not?
Exactly, right? Like it's a bizarre concept, really, when you're at this day and age or this stage of, I think, our lives, and maybe I'm just speaking a little bit subjectively here, but just saying that, like, I don't know if I have enough appreciation of my own mortality. And I'm saying that, you know, with a horrible chronic back injury that I'm living through right now. But I still think, even though, like we are mortal beings on this planet, we have a finite amount of time to experience and celebrate and try things and enjoy things. And, you know, you can stick to principles all you'd like, but do you want to explore the other side of the tracks a little bit sometimes? Certainly. And I think, like you said, 80 is a great time to do it. Why not? If you have the, you know, the gumption and the desire, then go for it. Get that ink.
Yeah, I feel like it's that perfect time to, like, there's always that stuff that you think about doing, like at the age we're at now, maybe 33, to whatever, to your maybe even say middle age that you think about doing and you want to do, but you just can't muster up the energy to do it. And if you get to that age and you still want to do it, then just go for it. Who's going to judge an 80-year-old woman getting a heart tattoo? That probably made the tattoo artist day. I could imagine it'd be very difficult to put that tattoo on. Very difficult.
You might need a couple of clothes pegs to hold certain things in place. But
just dotted on, like just dots.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Just picturing that. That's awesome.
Oh my god. That would be a sight. It's gonna need a couple extra pair of hands over here, boys.
Probably just sounded like you're just very rapidly flicking a wet bag of milk. Just that's probably some great audio right there.
And it's no wonder she didn't feel any pain. Like the skin is so separated from the rest of the body, she probably didn't even know what's happening.
It wasn't a couple of clothes hangers there, pinching the ends to hold it tight.
Yeah,
it wasn't even supposed to be a heart. It was supposed to be an anchor, but it was kind of like one of those mad fold-in magazines where once it unfolded, it turned out to be a heart. All right, number
like
three,
a pop-up book.
I love people. Booze is the new tea. Starting in 2014, Forbes magazine noticed a trend. More and more senior living centers were applying for liquor license. Yes, queen! Sorry, that was me, not the article. Sure, for the occasional champagne brunch and restaurant-style dining experience, as these facilities will tell the kids and grandkids who are footing the bill. But introducing ready access to beer, wine, and liquor to people who don't have to go to work and don't have to do much could be problematic. As Forbes contributor Robert Laura writes, thousands of boomers are retiring every single day, and they're not only likely to continue their drinking habits, but also increase them as a result of boredom and their desire to feel better. Then again, others may see it as a glorious eternal happy hour. I think I'd probably subscribe to the latter myself, just thinking like, I've essentially just moved into an all-inclusive resort. Maybe not all-inclusive. Yeah. You know, there's probably commissary and all that fun stuff to deal with by the time I get there. This is your prime of, like, this is your golden years. You're supposed to be celebrating your life, celebrating all the hard work you've put in for the previous, you know, X amount of years, and really just enjoying it to the most. If you, you know, if that means lifting a few elbows and cheers at a few mates, then all the power to you.
Yeah, I sort of didn't think of this when we talked about our futures together, but I feel like this is a necessity in our selection of our living situation in the future. And if we can't find this, we're just going to have to open our own.
What's that movie, Accepted? Or is that when they start their own college?
Yeah.
We'll just start our own retirement home.
We're going to dissect that one on one of these episodes, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's where we're going.
Yeah, we'll do a movie
I picture this being a scenario like exactly like our end of high school into university days, like partying and doing all that stuff, but just at a lot slower pace. Like we won't be moving as fast. We'll be, might enjoy it more. It'll be more laid back.
Who are we to say that they can't have a bar inside their retirement? Like how many people live in apartments and condos where there's a bar on the main floor or a bar around the corner from your house? Like we live on campus. There's bars on campus. Tell me that you didn't have time for 4 years of university to realistically get drunk all day, every day, if you wanted to. And that's when you were like young and dumb and whatever, right? Like what we have, I had 8 hours of class a week, maybe during university. Are you kidding me?
It's a very exploratory time of one's life. And I think in the senior years, the twilight years, the exploration is not quite there. Like, you know what beers you like, you know what your go-to is. Well, no, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's like who do we talk about here? Sadie Sellers up top here. Maybe this is a time in your life that you do some exploring and you try that, you know, that the prairie fire shot or a nice whipped cream blowjob shot at the bar that you've never had before, but they look so delicious. So maybe this is the time to pull the trigger and
any fruity drink there. And if someone just decides to not go, they decide not to go into assisted living or retirement living and they sit at home. They could do this at home. Like it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
So why are you taking that freedom away from them? I don't That's my thought.
Just go complete res rules if you want to restrict it. No glass bottles in the gathering hall.
Yes.
Everything plastic. Red Solo cups and steelback lager all around.
The plastic bottles, absolutely.
Yeah, we went to, so for those who aren't aware, we did our schooling in the quick phase of plastic bottles that a few companies tried to roll out. I don't think they exist anymore. I'm not sure if anyone still does them.
Oh,
there were several in that little span that we were in resin in university. Worked out well.
Too many sea turtles got caught up in those things. So yeah, they abandoned those.
Yeah.
So let's break this up a little bit here, guys. I got a fun little game we can play, and this is called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. Twilight Edition.
Okay.
And hang on to your Pattinsons, because this is, this is no vampire saga here. So what we're going to do is, these are all little segments. We have a segment on sex, we have a segment on drugs, and we have a segment on rock and roll as well. And we'll play a little mini game within each one and test your trivia when it comes to the golden years. So let's go here, fellas. So the first one is sex, and the game we're going to play is higher or lower, okay? Ooh. So here we go. Listen up. 65% of older adults age 57 to 65 are still sexually active. Is it higher or lower?
What was the number? 65%?
65% of older adults aged 57 to 65 are still sexually active.
I'm going to say low. I feel like that number's too high.
Oh, I was going to say higher. Lower. I say higher.
I'm going lower.
Matt, you are correct. It is higher. Society has developed a preconceived notion that older people are no longer capable of or interested in having sex. Ugh, why did I say it like that? However, the statistics do not support this belief at all. In fact, the numbers are staggering. 73% of respondents who are ages 57 to 64 years of age identified as sexually active. 53 respondents who are 65 to 74, and 26% of respondents who are 75 to 85 years of age. So this is there's some information from the Sexual Health and Retirement Community's Senior Living blog. Hang on, I just have to have a big drink of alcohol.
I got that issue in my email. I haven't read it yet, so thanks for spoiling that.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
The last newsletter.
Anybody who's
subscribed
to? Yeah. This is hold on to your bifocals, because this will rock your world. Retirement communities are engaging and supportive environments that offer seniors the opportunity to enjoy activities and hobbies with people in their same stage of life. For some, including divorcees and widowers, these communities also offer a chance to experience love again. One study, which reviewed community relationships between seniors, concluded that intimacy and sexuality are manifested in various ways, including handholding, intimate touch, intercourse, and other less physically intense expressions. A person's intimacy and sexuality does not expire after they reach a certain age. However, the ways in which they choose to express themselves sexually may change over time. Well, sir, I'm going to put a stop to that with this next section right here.
Thank God.
Although safe sex campaigns have been on the forefront of the past three decades, most are geared towards young people, and the sexual health of seniors is often overlooked. Awareness and protection for seniors is increasingly important, as sexually transmitted infections amongst this demographic are on the rise.
They don't care. They don't care.
They don't give a fuck. A study performed by... Hold on. A study performed by Berkeley University of California Wellness uncovered significant increases in STIs amongst adults 65 and over between 2010 and 2014. Here, you guys want some numbers? Oh, get your calculators for
not
this.
Really.
Not really. Not really.
You're going to give them to us, but we don't want them.
I want to go home. Chlamydia infections.
I want to know who patient zero is. I want to know where this started, but go ahead.
Patient hero. chlamydia infections increased by 52%. Ooh. Syphilis infections rose by 65%, and gonorrhea cases increased by more than 90%.
Oh my god.
90 gonorrhea. Fucking percent. How rampant is this super gonorrhea that's just ravaging this older adult population. But it actually, it makes sense in a way, because like the whole sex ed kind of thing really didn't come about till the 80s, I want to say. You know, there might have been some things before that, but I think like the whole safe sex campaign really only started in the 80s. And of course, a lot of these older adults who are retiring in these senior communities were married at that time, or they didn't have to worry about that. And they're coming from a time and stage where maybe condoms weren't that groovy, baby. And it's just like, it's just not part of their world. So I think I also read somewhere else in my really, you know, far too deep dive into researching for this fucking week that I'm going to need therapy for, seeing that some of these seniors really like came from, again, a time where, a lot of this information came from, obviously I'm a little bit torn up over
seniors
this.
Seniors moment
over here. But
it's the gonorrhea, it's clogging your brain.
In a lot of these, oh yes, my advanced geriatric gonorrhea is just really getting to me again, boys. Sorry. I think the women to men ratio, because women outlive men by about 7 years, I think the average is. And so a ratio is like 10 women for every one man. So they're being competitive. They're saying, "Yeah, don't worry about a domer. No worries. Come with me. I'm far more fun than the other 9 girls that you're competing with." So like,
oh Jesus,
it was one of those style things where it's just like that.
What a take.
I just don't think I'm ready to think about this kind of stuff yet. Like it's.
Hey, we're talking about preparation for senior living there, David. So
I think you're right with the education piece. This is the generation that when they were younger, it was okay to drink and drive. The upper edge of this, they lived in a time where people didn't understand the negative impacts of smoking. Like just the education when they were younger wasn't there. I think you're getting to the point now where they understand some of that stuff more, but certainly like this study's almost 10 years ago and people who at the upper ages of that study are now like would be pushing 100 if they're still alive. So when they were younger, right, 70 years ago, 60 years ago, those things were, you know, they weren't a thing. So I think you're pretty spot on with your take on the education side of it. And then on the flip side, some of them just don't give a shit anymore, right?
Like, no. They're done. Yep. It's who cares.
So there's your combination. Perfect storm.
We'll move on, but I have to say this last line from this one article that just fucking killed me. It's the very last line of this sexual health in retirement communities article that I was forced to read through for this fucking podcast. It's italicized as well as the very last line. Have you had the talk with your senior parent about safe sex and sexual health? We'd like to hear your stories in the comments below. Unfortunately, there's no comments in the section below, but just visualizing having this talk with your geriatric parent being like, "Well, mom and dad, I know your bodies have been going through a lot of changes lately, and I just want you to know that it's natural. It's okay." Just this warped kind of like revenge, I guess it would kind of be, if you can mentally get yourself there, then that you can then take on your parents for having the talk on you when you were a kid. And just, it was likely very awkward for them as well, I'd imagine. But I fucking love
these images. Are haunting me. These images are haunting me.
I'm gonna start a Reddit thread, one of those Reddit threads. Have you had this talk with your parents? How did it go? And I want to hear people, because people on Reddit will have replies to that.
Oh my God, please, 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 please send us an email at, roommatinghabits@gmail.com. Please tweet at us, roommatinghabits1m@roommatinghabits. Anyways, so that's the sex section of our fun game. Let's move right along here. So drugs, sex, drugs, rock and roll. So we're in the drugs now. So alcohol question, true or false? The older you get, the less alcohol you need to consume before you get drunk. True or false? The older you get, the less alcohol you need to consume before you get drunk.
I'm going to say true.
I think it's a trick question, but personal experience tells me it's true because I drink a whole shitload more when I was 22 than I can when I'm 30 in my 30s here. So being a case study, I can tell you that's true, but I bet you it's a trick question. But what do you got?
You got me. It's true. So aging, it is true. Yep. Aging can lower the body's tolerance for alcohol. Older adults generally experience the effects of alcohol more quickly than when they were younger. This puts older adults at a higher risk for falls, car crashes, and other unintentional injuries that may result from drinking. Quote, even though younger and older adults appear to have similar metabolism, the behavioral implications are different, end quote, said Sarah Jo Nixon, a researcher and professor at the University of Florida. Of course you are. There are a number of physiological reasons as to why older adults start to feel the effects from alcohol quicker. And the reasons can include things like less muscle to absorb alcohol, alcohol takes longer to absorb, and less water in our body.
So back to the point about the retirement homes having bars in them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You want the bar to be at the retirement home. So they aren't driving to the bar and then driving home after. Yep. They'll have their walker there with them. This is a quick little trip back to their room. No one's driving anywhere. I only see benefits.
It's bad enough to have, you know, a very older adult behind the wheel in the first place, stereotypically speaking, of course. But it's, to have one that's, you know, maybe indulged in a drink or two and maybe at a younger age, one beer wouldn't have hit them the same way that it does now that they have less muscle to absorb the alcohol and alcohol takes longer to absorb and less water in the body. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, I'd say. So, yes.
Oh, God. Is this a new character? Philosophical Patrick?
Philosophy. No. One character is enough for now. We're good. Extreme Patrick never mind. No, enough about Extreme Patrick. That guy can do that.
What's round three, baby? What's
rock
round
and roll.
Three?
Two truths and a lie for rock and roll.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to say three sentences, essentially. And at the end of it, you guys have to see which one was a truth, which one were the truths and which one was a lie. Okay, first one. Two men escaped a senior's home for a metal concert, traveling over 25 miles by public transportation. Next one. Man dressed as Elvis became disgruntled with booing crowd and started swinging his microphone into the audience, injuring three people. Number three. A senior's home cover of Beastie Boys' You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party has garnered millions of YouTube hits since its release in 2015.
Oh, I don't want the Elvis one to be a lie. That just sounds awesome. That sounds so awesome.
I think the third one's a lie.
The Beastie Boys?
I don't know. Why not? I think the first one's true. I'm pretty sure I've heard the first one before. I'm going to say it's true. But maybe I'm making that up and it's a lie.
I'm going to say, oh boy.
Ooh, now I'm letting Elvis. Now I'm letting Elvis lie. Whatever. I'll say Beastie Boys is a lie.
Okay. I don't want to, but I'm going to say the Elvis thing is a lie just because the first one sounds wicked too. That just sounds like, it sounds like something the three of us would get into. We'd be public transporting down to the local watching and catching the Foo Fighters who are still around somehow. Dave Grohl's still rocking out somehow.
Yeah. 25 year anniversary for them or something recently, but yeah. Yes, Dave, that's you are correct. The two truths. Elvis is indeed the lie. So the truths, two men escaped a senior's home for a metal concert traveling over 25 miles by public transportation. So breaking the rules is in the spirit of rock and roll after all. And that must have been on the minds of a couple of German seniors as they decided to break out of their nursing home in order to attend a hard rock and metal festival named Wacken. The two seniors, both men, busted out of their rural nursing facility in Dithmarschen, and traveled across the country to Hamburg for the fest. They traveled 25 miles in total on public transport in order to attend Wacken Open Air Festival, an annual event featuring some of the hottest and biggest names from the worlds of rock and metal. This year included Judas Priest, Danzig, and Cannibal Corpse were among the headline acts. The two elderly rockers did not want to miss out on the event, so planned their escape to perfection and got to enjoy the whole show. But there was some cause for concern, as both men have mental health issues and the nursing home staff were very worried that they when they learned of their disappearance. They got in touch with the police, who initiated a search for the men. Fortunately, the pair were found, perfectly safe, but a little groggy at 3 a.m. They didn't really want to go home with the cops, but eventually relented.
I wonder if they, like, thought they were going somewhere else. Like, they thought they were going down to the local bingo, and then the bus just didn't stop. The bus didn't stop.
Listen, Germans love their metal and hard rock music.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Love it. My wife has a cousin who I haven't seen in years, actually, who's in a metal band and like lives in Seattle, like legit musician. And they'll do a Europe, like they'll play smaller places like in North America. And when they go over to Europe, like in Germany, they are superstars. Like they're full, like the shows, like, you know, you hear about like those comp lists before shows where yep. I want all the blue M&Ms and I want this. And I want, like, they get treated like that over in Germany. And like, I couldn't even tell you the name of the band. It's like heavy metal, but like they're huge over there because they love that stuff. So while I think you're probably right, maybe these guys meant to get off at the bingo game.
Yeah.
Just kept going. It would not shock me if they like were sitting around in the afternoon with the CDs playing and we're like, let's just go. Let's just go to the concert. Let's climb out the window here. Some or probably walked out the door and went to the concert. I love it.
Why not?
I like that too.
Like you say, what are they gonna do? Arrest you and like?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who cares? Like, what's the? They're not gonna get in trouble.
No,
you're in the seniors' hole now. But and anyways, the other truth: a seniors' home cover of Beastie Boys' "You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party" has garnered millions of YouTube hits. "Fight for Your Right to Party" from YouTube poster Stephanie Gumina has garnered a whopping 7.6 million views as of its debut on March 30th, 2015. So in less than 5 years, it's got 7.6 million views, which will I'll post a link to it in our show notes as well so you can watch it. I did watch it. It's pretty fucking awesome, if I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
I just love that those guys are going to be making some money.
Oh, they're not. They have no idea. Well, unfortunately, Dave, by the looks of some of them, don't know if 5 years would really be too kind to them. If that's...
Are you talking about the seniors or the Beastie Boys?
Oh, I'm talking about the seniors, man. But, yeah.
Oh, they're just fighting for their right to party.
And to live.
And to live.
So okay, let's get right back into the stories here now. Sordid tales from the villages. How can one retirement community be the source for so much debauchery? Do we even have to mention that it's in Florida? Yes. The Villages is one of the state's largest senior communities, with a ratio of 10 women to every one man. One resident was quoted in Daily Mail articles saying, "Turn your back for a minute and someone will try to steal your husband." This led to accusations of swinger parties, black market Viagra sales, and at least one recorded incident where a 68-year-old resident named Peggy Clem was caught having sex in a public square with a man 19 years her junior. The incident was honored by a local bar that designed a Sex in the Square cocktail in Peggy's honor. Again, Florida.
68's not that old, though.
Really? No,
not really.
I had a girl, Peggy. Way to go, Peggy.
Yeah.
When you just think retirement in Florida, I just think of that Seinfeld episode, eh? We'd be all over the pool. We'd be all over the shuffleboard. That's. I don't know why we haven't really talked about Florida as an option for us here, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
We need to make sure that's in the realm of the research when we really get into it down the road.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall to see this black market of Viagra sales going on.
You want to see all that?
I just want to know what I don't want to
have retirement home.
Just really,
that,
Dave?
Just that specific.
I think you can find it on the internet if you wanted to, Dave.
I'm picturing a guy in like old school, like trench coat style, just whipping her open. There's just like hanging Viagra and like the hard candies and whatever else on the other side. Like it's a scene, and everyone's paying in singles.
I love it.
Okay.
Sick.
We're running late on time here, so I'm going to have to do some editing. Hooked on a feeling. Local Philadelphia paper, The Intelligencer, oh, that sounds very credible, uncovered one of the more unusual perks to being among the few seniors who can get around on their own. A man in his 70s in an assisted living facility in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, would not only go on booze runs for his less mobile neighbors, he'd use his time away from his room and board to hire prostitutes. He was kicked out of his residence when staff discovered him trying to hide a lady for hire under his bed. I hope to God I can either be that guy or have someone like you guys better be that guy where, you know, if I get my license taken away from me, and by gum I will, that I have someone, like a runner, to go, you know, get some of the good stuff.
This is like, I just love how the story, like, when you get older, you revert back to the ways you were when you were young, right? Like, I'm picturing this guy running in and the guy's like, get under the bed, hide under the bed. That's where you got to go.
Last but not least, meanwhile, in Canada, hey-o, prostitutes, public nudity, drunkenness, that's nothing compared to what's going on north of the border. Residents of a Mississauga, Ontario, assisted living facility were told that their bingo games were actually in violation of local gambling laws and were thereby illegal. Rather than go through the channels to obtain proper licensing and certification, the residents kept right on going, running their illegal bingo dens in flagrant defiance of the law. Again, are you really going to waste a jail cell on admittedly
even a police resource to go down there?
Yeah.
You're the cop who gets the call. Oh, we heard of the senior center. There's the bingo game going on again. Better go break it up. Like,
just let the kids play.
And that's unreal. That's one thing we have to look forward to. They can get away with it. What are people going to, like you said, what are people going to do? Are you going to put them in jail? No, you're just going to say, guys, don't do it. And they're just going to continue doing it. Not even a slap on the old wrist.
Who calls that in the first place? Like, how does someone find out?
It's probably the old guy who keeps losing bingo. He's probably getting real pissed. He keeps losing. He's narking on all the other bingo players.
Or probably the kid of the parent who's noticing that their commissary is getting sorted out into singles and other bits of...
Full circle.
Bingo
full,
chips.
Full circle. Full circle.
That's called a callback. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in and for continuing to listen. Please do us a huge favor. Tell a friend about the podcast. Get them listening. Get them even just downloading and subscribing, rating us. Greatly appreciate every little bit of support that we can get. So thank you all so much for tuning in and enjoying us. I also want to thank Marshall Dane for the use of his theme song, Come Back, off the album Running Stop Signs. Phenomenal guy. Great album. Please go check that out. That would be greatly appreciated. I think that's it. Dave.
A grandma and grandpa are going out for their daily health walk, and grandma can't decide. I don't know, Joe. Should I wear my bra, do you think? Yeah, Rosie, you better. It's quite muddy out.
And you're the one who wanted to be in the retirement home as a fly on the wall watching stuff. Remember that when you tell that joke.
I'm Pat fucking Collins.
I'm Matt Cremasco.
And I'm David Barr.
Thank you so much for listening. And don't be afraid to come on back, but not like that.
Hey, yo.